This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you with us.
You've been here.
County manager now for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You also served as interim manager for a time. How do you like the job so far?
It's a great job. I've worked for good people, and we have a good county.
All right. That's pretty simple. Tell us about your background. Where are you from?
Well, Steve, I grew up in Sedgwick County. I grew up on a small family farm in between Colwich and Mays in the northwest part of the county, and went to high school here locally. Left for a brief period of time to go to college and actually came back to Newman University and got a bachelor's degree there. Joined a police department in 1982 and spent 31 years on the Wichita Police Department and retired from there in 2012 and went to become the code department manager for the city and the county. It was a newly merged department, and I went to take that role on in 2012. Moved over to public safety in the county a few years after that, then was moved over to deputy county manager, and here I am today. I'm the county manager.
When you were in the police department, were you a detective? Did you start at the bottom and go to the top?
Started at the bottom. Was a line officer for a few years, then was promoted to detective and actually did undercover narcotics work for about 2 years, and then just promoted up the ranks to lieutenant, captain, and I retired as a deputy chief.
Anybody there that who was a mentor to you? A mentor, somebody who helped you along in your early career?
Oh, I mean, Mike Watson was I was, as I promoted up, LeMunyan hired me, so yeah. I always viewed Richard LeMunyan as a mentor and the kind of police officer I aspired to be. He still mentors me today. He's the administrator of Mays and a good man, and so he's had impact on my life.
Okay. You took the job, frankly, amid some controversy with some criticism of your predecessor's management, but what's your management style going to be, Tom?
Well, I'm a situational leader, and when we manage, we have to first worry about the organization, the county organization, and the most important people in that organization are the 500,000 people in Sedgwick County. But we also have to manage our personnel. Sedgwick County is a large employer. We have over 2,800 employees. And we have 5 elected Board of County Commissioners, but what makes county government a little bit unique is we have independent elected offices, a sheriff, a district attorney, a treasurer, clerks, and deeds, and we have an appointed election commissioner and an appointed appraiser. So to manage in that kind of environment, and I'm not sure manager is the right word. It's more of a collaborator and a communicator and somebody that can get diverse people into a room and solve a problem.
That's interesting because I think people will talk about the district attorney. They assume that that's somebody who works for Sedgwick County.
Well, they do work for Sedgwick County, but Mark Bennett is an independent elected official. When you go to the polls every 4 years, you vote for a district attorney, and so Mark has some independence. We all rely on the same Funding, though, for our operations, so property taxes and grants and other things that roll into the county, we all have to operate from that same pool. So there is, it's mandatory collaboration, and we are very blessed in Sedgwick County to have really good elected officials who work well together, Mark Bennett being one of them, and we, that's how we operate.
Let's talk a little bit, you brushed on this a moment ago, about the scope of the manager's job. How many employees do you have, and how do you... Give us a little bit on the structure. The X number of employees, so many departments. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, county's very diverse. We actually have it split into four main divisions. There's public safety, which is the most visible part of county government. That includes your fire department, 911, the whole corrections entity, forensic science. And so there's this entire public safety component. Then you have public works, which is also a very visible component, which is all of our roads and bridges and infrastructure. Public services is mental health and general health services, aging, disability. So that's an entire division. And then you need that division that kind of runs it all, which is general government, which is our finance and HR, IT services. So that's kind of how we have to have the county split. And then you have the independent elected offices, which dovetail into that. So it's we have 42 divisions, 42 departments, and we have these independent elected offices, so it's a very unique government environment.
Whoa, I guess so. Now, when you have a meeting once or twice a week, how many people are in that meeting? I'm not talking about the county commission meeting.
No, we
have organizational meetings.
Yeah, no, we call it a Board of County Commission staff meeting every Tuesday, and that is a time for all of us to sit together and just talk about issues, maybe review what's going to be on the agenda in the upcoming weeks, and that's a room full of people because all of the elected bodies show theirs. Sheriff has a representative, clerk and treasurer, deeds all have representatives there. So it's a room full of people, but it's a good session. They're all good people.
How big's your annual budget?
The county overall runs in excess of $430-440 million. And that's everything from tax-funded entities to grants. And the county government is the next rung after state government. So we do a lot of operations with the state of Kansas and actually give services on behalf of the state of Kansas within the county. So there's a budget stream coming in from the state of Kansas also. But all total, about $440 million.
How has that been the last few years? Has it been going up?
Well, no, everybody's struggling budget-wise, and it's budget season again for us. And, and of course, we're aware of the budget situation in the state of Kansas. So as a county government, we have to sit kind of right in the middle, and we have to watch what happens at the state level and what happens with their budget situation and their challenges. And to maybe a lesser degree, the federal budget, and because we do have some federal grants rolling in. And then we have to manage our own county budget, which is our property tax and tax-funded items that come in. So we have a very talented finance department who can manage all of this and keep it transparent, keep it open to the public so they know how we're operating.
What do you see as maybe the two or three biggest challenges for the county in the near future?
Well, we have a lot of challenges. Back in the 90s and even into the 80s, where we started to define terms such as alcohol fetal syndrome and crack babies and all that kind of vernacular was invented, the people that we were describing at that time, those children, are now adults. And so we're seeing tremendous challenges in the areas of public and mental health. And our public safety component is strapped. And I'm everything from 911 to the sheriff's office to the district attorney. They're all very busy, and unfortunately, business seems to be getting better. So one of our huge challenges in the future is how we're going to manage all this with a limited amount of resource, how we provide the best mental health in this community and try to keep people who are struggling with that diagnosis out of our jail, which is where they don't believe, and get them into a system that will help them. So I would say mental health and public safety is our number one challenge. We have infrastructure issues as well. We've had some efforts. We're trying to improve the what we call the North Junction, which is where I-235 and I-35 and everything kind of merges together there. Yeah. It's a traffic nightmare in Wichita, and so just from a safety standpoint, we need to do something about that. And more generally, it's a pipeline into the city, into the region from the north, so there's an economic development component to it as well. So we're trying to do something with state of Kansas and federal government to try to get a remedy for that solution. And then just the maintenance of all of our bridges and roads in the county. The expectation from the citizens is that they have nice roads to drive on and safe roads to drive on. So it's a challenge to keep that infrastructure up. So that's a challenge. Everything in budget right now as we roll into this season of budget. And, of course, the municipalities are going through the same process right now. And the state of Kansas is already, their budget cycle runs July 1st to June 30. So they've already had budget talks and are still trying to formulate their upcoming budget. And at the end of the day, it always is you have a tremendous amount of ask and a tremendous amount of need from the public and a very limited resource, because we try to keep our taxes as low as we can in this region. And to just try to make all that fit is very challenging.
Let's flesh the mental health part out a little bit, because okay. I do these interviews once a week with community leaders. And one thing we're seeing, I'm hearing from law enforcement people and educators and people like that, there are folks out there who are on the streets now who years ago they had with those problems, they didn't go out in the street. We didn't see them. They were institutionalized someplace, right, or whatever. And don't you have an idea about possibly doing a facility for them here?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
If you go back, and I guess I'm so old, I remember the history. There used to be state institutions, state hospitals to help people long-term. I'm talking about long-term mental health care. And slowly over time, they have been degraded and shut down. And so what's happening today is we're seeing all of these issues on our streets and in our neighborhoods. And unfortunately, what happens many of the times when people are having those types of challenges, they commit crimes, many times minor, sometimes major. We've had homicides that have happened because of mental health issues. And the people who are committing those crimes or who are suffering from that end up in Sheriff Easter's jail. And everybody, every expert that you talk to, from law enforcement to mental health professionals, will tell you that is the wrong place to have people like that have to sit and endure the justice system. So one of the things that we had looked at was to have some type of a step-down process to where maybe the person starts over at the jail. If they've committed a crime, they have to be accountable for it. But to get them out of that jail setting as soon as possible and into a professional care, a hospital care level treatment facility, long-term or short-term. And so what we had talked with the state of Kansas about, there are two state hospitals for mental health issues. Both, neither are close to this region. We have to travel our patients across the state to get there. So we had talked to the state about potentially putting a state hospital here in Sedgwick County that could be regionally supported by all of our quad county partners in our 10 county region here. And it would give us an option for short-term care and long-term care and get people out of the jail and get them the long-term help they need to solve the problem. Because invariably what happens, and the sheriff will tell you this, or Chief Ramsey from Wichita will tell you, that you book those people in and within a few hours they're bonded out and they're committing crime again, and there's this nonstop, cyclical, costly, do nobody any good scenario that we have to try to stop from happening. So we're in discussions with the state right now. Senator McGinn has talked with us about it, and we've talked to a number of other legislators, and there's interest in doing it. It's just a question of what the budget will yield and when we can get it done. So that's the discussion that's ongoing. It's very interesting. It would be life-changing for people in this region if we can bring it to fruition.
Okay, switching gears a little bit, how do you and staff go about preparing background for the county commissioners so they can make informed decisions? Does all that come out in the meetings you're talking about?
Well, each commissioner represents, there's five, and we have a 500,000 people in Sedgwick County, so they each represent about 100,000 constituents. And they're unique individuals. They're all very passionate and good individuals. They're trying to improve the community, but they all have some differences. And so at the end of the day, what the challenge for staff is to present present all of them equally and equitably, analysis and study to whatever the issue is, whether we're talking about roads or economic development or mental health or public safety. We try to present all five of them with an equal analysis so that they have all of the information they need to make an informed decision and vote on how to move forward with policy or how to move forward with budget expenditure. So it's a challenge. They're all good people, but that's a lot of fun of the job too. All the analysis and all the study and working with these five who also then have to work with city councils from all over the county. We have 20 municipalities. Of course, Wichita is the biggest city, so we spend a lot of time, and our commissioners spend a lot of time with their counterparts in the city. So it's a very interesting environment.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles. The county has been looking at wind and solar energy. What have you found out so far, Tom?
Well, Steve, this got on our radar a few months ago, and actually Chairman Dennis, Commissioner David Dennis, who represents District 3 in Sedgwick County, which is the far west part of the county, became aware of some wind turbines that were being proposed for eastern Reno County in the Haven region all the way south to as far as Cheney Lake. And, of course, that's right across county line. And it's a little bit of a concern for Sedgwick County because the wind turbines that go up have to connect to an energy grid, and that energy grid, there are energy grid parcels in Sedgwick County where they'll have to run the lines to. So Chairman went over to Reno County and kind of just listened to the dialogue, and it's a very interesting issue. Now, and there's two sides to it. One is the philosophical concept of wind and solar power for our country and for our world. And that is not the issue we are discussing here. I think all of us understand that we need alternative energy sources to maintain our quality of life in the United States of America and the world. The issue is on a micro level, land use. And where should these types of apparatus be placed? And so you'll notice up when you go to Salina, there's a huge field to the east of Salina. And the question now for Reno and possibly for Sedgwick County is when you put those wind turbines in, they're several hundred feet high. They make a little bit of noise. There's some flicker effect when the blades are going around, the shadow effect that is disturbing to people and animals. And how far and where should they be located, or should they be located at all within Sedgwick County, which is basically an urbanized county, and with a lot of airports and airspace, where should those go physically? And we have really no zoning code to address that. So the meetings that we're going to be having with the public in the future is not necessarily to talk about the rights or the wrongs of solar and wind power, because I think we all know that that's right. The question is, where should those be placed, or should they be placed in Sedgwick County? And that's the discussion we'll be having over the next several weeks. The commission, a month or two ago now, in a Board of County Commission meeting, put a moratorium on any type of building of a solar field or a wind turbine placement in Sedgwick County for 6 months to give us time to properly study this and analyze this. And now we're into the phase where we just want to listen to the public, and we'll have a series of meetings and times for the public to weigh in on what they think.
Let's talk about the county's emergency management work in the spring summer storm season. Mm-hmm. Is the county well prepared for possible disaster, you think?
We do. We have Sedgwick County runs the emergency management component for Sedgwick County, but there are a lot of partners that make that work. All the police departments, all the fire departments work very well together, and we have a good relationship with the Kansas Department of Emergency Management, where if the episode gets so large that even our resources can't handle it, that we can have other counties come in and help us and the state of Kansas. The springtime in Kansas is very interesting. For the last couple of years, actually, it's mostly been wildfires and grass fires that get out of control. We've gone as far away as Cherokee County to help them fight grass fires, and they would come and help us if we had had the need. So we have this great relationship with our public safety officials all over the state to help each other out in the time of crisis. And then, of course, we always worry about the tornado that comes through. And we are very fortunate in Sedgwick County. We have, you know, City of Wichita's in the middle of this thing, and all these municipalities have all this equipment. And individually, I think we're vulnerable, but when we work together, I can't imagine a scenario where we would not be in great shape. And we, of course, all hope it doesn't happen. But if we have that huge storm or the huge hailstorm, the huge tornado, the fire, our public safety officials are top-notch and we'll be managing the situation.
We've heard about challenges to hire detention officers, and for that matter, maybe even Sedgwick County Sheriff's officers. How's that going? Are we finding the people we need?
I'll tell you, it's just tough across the board, which, you know, there's an ebb and a flow. And right now in this region, just holistically, we have a worker shortage. You know, Spirit's hiring a lot of people. Some of our medical components are hiring a lot of people. And Sedgwick County is a large employer, and we hire a lot of people. So across the board, everybody's struggling and fighting to maintain workforce and bring workforce in. So that's why, you know, the concept of economic development and the concept of quality of life is very important, because we want people to stay here that grow up here, and we want people to move here because it's a great, great place to live and a great place to raise a family. So the sheriff's feeling some of that fallout. His detention deputy shortage, I just talked with him yesterday. I think he's about 70 short. So he's looking for people, and we're trying to enhance that position through many methods. Try to look at the pay issue to pay them a wage that is comparable to other types of positions around the state of Kansas. We try to give them a good work environment with great technology and camera systems so that they're protected and safe. But to answer your question directly, he's struggling right now. We're struggling to maintain a workforce, as is this, the Kansas Department of Corrections and or other county jails around the region. So anyone that wants to get involved, now that's actually a job that really isn't a job. It's more of a vocation. If you there's an opportunity to help people and get people through times in their life when, you know, they're not at their best, and it's really good work.
Now, and those, I can understand the challenges in those areas, law enforcement and detention. What about in the office? Are you having any difficulty finding people to fill the jobs in the office space?
We're having trouble across the board finding qualified applicants to come in and work. The sheriff, I think, has the most critical need, but across the board, and Steve, we all know that government, we try to work as lean as we can. To some degree, those people that work in government have to be driven. They have to be driven to want to help people, because you're never going to get rich when you work in a government environment, either as a police officer or any other status. So you try to find the people that have this community drive, this heart in them that they want to serve people, and that's what keeps us afloat and why we have great employees today. But across the board, office staff, detention, public safety, fire officials, it's a struggle right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the budget. You brushed on this earlier, but at this point, are you looking to, will you need to increase the budget this year, or is it going to stay the same? Are you looking for any tax increases, anything like that?
I think there is no stomach for that. The challenge in running government and all the important things and life-changing things that we do is we also understand that is the people's money. And people, I think there is no appetite in this community to raise taxes right now. I feel like we all think our taxes are high enough. So the challenge for us is how to manage that as efficiently and as effectively as possible without raising taxes. So the direct answer to your question is this year, no, we're going for flat budget. There's no tax increase on the horizon that I'm aware of. The commissioners make that decision, or the city councils across the board make that decision. But our goal every year when we sit down as a staff, which we are in earnest doing right now, is to try to make it work on a flat budget and look for other efficiencies or technology or things that help us serve the community better.
All right. What's the biggest challenge for you professionally in this job?
Well, right now, because I'm so new, and I'm as old as a boot here. I've been around forever, but it's just getting used to the new role. We have two new commissioners in, still getting used to their style of leadership and management, and to just get all these pieces moving together. And the biggest challenge for me personally right now is to go through this budget cycle and see all this need out there, see all this need across the board of services that our citizens deserve and expect, and to try to figure out on a fixed budget how we're going to make that all work. So over the next 4 to 6 months, that will by far be my personal biggest challenge.
What do you like most about it?
About this job?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing from day to day. Every day is different. I'm sitting in Steve McIntosh's office today talking to him. That's pretty cool. And I think I've got a schedule for the rest of the week, but it can change on a drop of a hat. So I love the uncertainty of it. I love the dynamics of it. And I love working with people, and I love the community. So,
you've already put in a good many years of public service, Tom, and it looks like you got a few years ahead. So, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, and the best of luck with this thing where there's something new and different every day. I don't know that I could handle that. That's a little crazy.
Ah, you could, Steve. It's all good.
I don't think so. But anyway, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We've learned a lot this morning. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Our guest this week, County Manager Tom Stoles. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.